Hello, everybody. Can everybody hear me okay? Testing. Testing, testing. Cal, can you hear me? Hey there, Brother Greg, Sister Donna. How you guys doing? Hope you're doing good. Hey there, Brother Bill. Welcome back. Yeah, it was cold here today. Had to pull out the coat. Brother Bill, can you hear me now? Cal, can you hear me now? Testing. Let me go out and come back in and see if that makes a difference. Okay, testing, 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 testing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have through him. We thank you for the privilege and the blessing we have to be gathered here tonight to study your word. Pray for listening ears and believing hearts, and we pray when all is said and done, it'll be to the glory and to the honor of your name and to our edification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the call of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I see Hal, Cal coming back on. Let's see if we can catch him. Hey there, Hal. Cal, can you hear me now? Testing, testing. Doesn't seem like Cal is hearing me still. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and proceed, and hopefully can work it out. If not, are you recording, Brother Greg? Okay, good, good. So we'll go ahead and continue here. Now, as I said last week when we began looking at basically verse 5 and verse 6. In these two verses, there's something every believer can do and should, and that's be saints, to live separated lives as Christian, because that's what God has called us to be. We are separated from the world to be witnesses to the world. And we can't do that being like the world. Romans 12 says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, be not, particularly, I think it's verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, okay, by the renewing of your mind. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, this way you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And the idea there is, again, we're called out to come out from amongst them and to be separate, said the Lord. First, I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I mean, or is that 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises. I'm sorry. Make that chapter 6. Chapter 6. Beginning at verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And here's the idea, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Okay? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are called, again, to be saints. We're called to live a separated life. We're called to be separate from the world, not isolated from the world, but to be separate from the world. And we have a testimony, we have a calling, we have a vocation to the world, our ministry, the reason God has left us here, to be light that shineth in the midst of darkness, as it were. Now, and for that reason, we are to be saints. We are to live separated lives because that's our calling. That's our vocation. That's, you know, that's our profession in life, in this world. And by the way, again, let me emphasize, Christendom might have you trying to find out what your gift is in life, and then to discover what that gift and go and then occupy that gift, to utilize that gift for the glory of God. The problem with that, oftentimes, Brother Bill can't hear me. Hal, can you hear me? Cal, I want to keep saying Hal, but Cal. Are you hearing me, Cal? Brother Bill? Testing. What about now? Can everybody hear me okay? Testing. Testing. Well, you can hear me, Brother Greg. You're recording, so I'm going to continue, and maybe they can get the recording if they don't, if they're not able to solve the problem right now. But in any case, another reason we should be saints, and it's for the love of God. The way Paul phrases it here in verse 7, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, but beloved of God, very much loved, dearly loved. And that speaks to the motivation for being saints. That speaks to the motivation again, like the first one. We're called. This is why should we be saints? Because that's our calling. Why should we be saints? Because of the love of God. Grace motivation. Thinking on His love for us. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And then he had these words, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Okay. Welcome, Moshe Alter. But the love of God is the motivation for being who God has called us to be. For living this separated life, for being Christians, for being lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 again. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, that the fact that Paul beseeches us, compare that with Philemon. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Philemon, verse 8, 9, and 10. Welcome their servant for life. I'm trying to get my mom's attention. She's not familiar with this room that we're in, Brother Greg. I've invited her in. I don't know if she's picking up on the invite. All right, but in Philemon, verse 8 through 10, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. Being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so Paul uses an expression, I beseech you. And then he says, therefore, brethren, and then pointing to the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Welcome, Love Never Gives Up. That's grace motivation. Being motivated by the love of Christ. And the motivation for being saints, the motivation for living separated lives as Christians, the love of God, the love of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8 in verse 32. Romans 8 in verse 32. Welcome back, Brother Bill. Can you hear me now, Brother Bill? No sound, Brother Bill? Okay, good, good. In Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, in Romans 5, he describes that. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now go back to Romans 8:32 again. He that spared not his own son, that's the love of God. Hereby know we the love of God, in that he laid down his life for us, but delivered him up for us all. And then on top of that, he goes on to say, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The motivation to be saints, to live separated lives, is our calling, but also is the love of God. We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live, going back to the 2 Corinthians 5 passage, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And as Servant for Life points out in Romans 12, he says, this is our reasonable service. That word reasonable is where we get our word logic from. It's only logical. It's only right that we live our lives unto him which loved us and gave himself for us. But that's the motivation for being saints. Being a saint is something every believer can do and should do. One, because that's our calling. Secondly, because of the love of God. in something similar to that is we're called by the Lord Jesus Christ to reflect his life. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to begin at verse 16. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase unto the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. When you get saved, you have to abandon human wisdom, human viewpoint, when it comes to living the Christian life. The mixture or the reliance upon human wisdom, human viewpoint, is not going to lead you in the direction that God wants for your life. It's going to lead you into the opposite direction. And so you have to abandon that human wisdom, that human viewpoint, and rely totally and exclusively upon the wisdom of God. Because that human wisdom, that human viewpoint, verse 18 is described here in manner that shows its utter uselessness, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But notice verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Can I tell you, the Christian life is not automatic. The Christian life is learned. Your life won't function and operate on the basis of ignorance. You have to build into you. We were looking at Romans 12 there earlier. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And we'll see that again in this passage we're looking at here. And my point is, we've been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to reflect his life. And so, in Philippians 1:27, Paul would say it this way. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. How do you reflect the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you have to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what is it to be filled with the Spirit? You have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You have to obey from the heart, Romans 6:17. You have to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That form of doctrine which was delivered us, Paul clearly enumerates what that is in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, when he writes, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you." So he said, you know, you have to learn Christ. He says, going back to Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now that reminds me of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 and 8. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did we receive him? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how are we to walk in him? The same way, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, that brings up Titus 2:11 and 12. You know, your life, you have to build into your life the doctrines of grace. As in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, the doctrines of grace is what we just cited in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 there. It's the dispensation of grace. There's a body of truth. There's some revelation from God specifically directed at the church, which is the body of Christ. And we're to be rooted and to be built to make use of that revelation, to make use of that information, to be built up in Christ, established in the faith. Again, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm back in Colossians 2, verse 7. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy in vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. So Philippians 1:27 defines for us the standard of truth today. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. If we're going to reflect the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in our mortal flesh. Now go back to Ephesians 4:20. If we're going to reflect the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in our mortal flesh, then we have to build those doctrines directed specifically to you and I as members of the body of Christ, the dispensation of the grace of God. Build those truths up in the mentality, to be rooted and to be grounded in those truths. That is information that doesn't come to you by osmosis. That is information that God doesn't just drop it in your spirit. That is information that you must be taught. You must learn it. Again, that's Ephesians 4:20-21. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're called to be saints. We've been separated from the world to be witnesses to the world. The motivation to do so is the love of Christ. The means by which we achieve that is by building, by letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Look at look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16. And notice what Paul writes here. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That is a verse, contrary to popular teaching, is a statement about the church, which is the body of Christ. This is not a statement specifically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, but rather a statement about the church, which is the body of Christ. And in this, you see what our calling, what our vocation, what our purpose is in this world. God was manifest in the flesh. We're to manifest the life of God. Justified in the Spirit. Well, when you walk in the Spirit, you're justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Our ministry has a message to the heavenly host. Remember Ephesians 3:9? When Paul talks about, well, let me get the verse because I'm forgetting it myself now. In Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, you see, in time past, this was not the ministry. This was something that was kept hid, but now it is to be made manifest. And in verse 10 it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we were looking at 1 Timothy 3:16 again, you're looking at the course, the history of the church, the body of Christ. Justified, I mean, manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angel, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And as Paul writes in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And we're going to be received up into glory. Take a look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And this is it. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you're called by the Lord Jesus Christ to reflect his life. And the way you do that, you have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Because that's what we're called to be, saints. We're called to live separated lives. as Christians. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The body of Christ is not an afterthought on God's part, but is a part of his eternal purpose. One, he kept secret from the foundation of the world. The other, he made known from the foundation of the world, since the world began. Prophecy is that purpose God made known from the foundation of the world. The mystery is that purpose God kept hid in himself unto this present dispensation, unto this present time, signaled by the revelation of Jesus Christ to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And that is the great dividing line between the past and the present today. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, notice, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We looked at a passage in 1 Peter that is kind of parallel in its teaching to what we just read. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14, beginning at verse 14, notice what Peter says. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're called to be saints. Called to be saints is a calling to holiness. Called to be saints is a calling to righteousness. And you would do more for the body of Christ. You would do more to promote the will of God by walking worthy of your calling, called to be saints, than trying to discover some mysterious gifts that is not operating for you today in this dispensation of grace. We are the called of Jesus Christ. Paul was called to be an apostle. We are called to be saints. I say to you, be saints. Live separated lives as Christians. Shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Alrighty, thanks for listening. Sorry about all the problems, all the difficulty here tonight. Don't know what was going on. Thanks for Serving for Life and Marilyn Traver for joining us tonight. We're normally in the Berean Bible Study One Room. I'm glad you were able to sort it out there, Brother Bill. But we're here every Sunday night from 7 to 8 Central Standard Time, 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. And we welcome you guys to come back in and join us. Good to see you, Cal. Again, sorry for the trouble. I see we couldn't get my mom in here. I don't think she understood how to get into the room. But I'll give her a call and let her know what was going on. But normally we're in the Berean Bible Study One Room. Hidden Wisdom is a room I set up some time ago. And I don't know if Brother Greg, Brother Bill, if you guys would like to start meeting in the this room, or for the moment it seems people are not familiar with it. Okay. Berean Bible Study One. Okay, we'll keep that. Use this as a backup if need be. Either is fine. Okay. I was just noticing most people, I think, might be familiar with Berean Bible Study 1 and may be avoiding it purposely. And not familiar with Hidden Wisdom. We seem to at least attract some other traffic here tonight that we normally do not attract. So I have to inform my mom about the room and some other folks. If we utilize Hidden Wisdom Room, let's just get the word out to. Gotta watch those Bereans. Yeah. Alrighty, but we'll call it a night. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for posting there for me, Brother Greg. Till next week, God's best to y'all. Good night. We'll be closing down the room at this time. By the way, Brother Bill, I got your text. I'll be responding to you. I'll probably call you. Okay.